usually get a bunch of the life members together at one time, because as one tells something, somebody say, yeah, I remember that journey, but what about so-and-so, you know?
Well, Rich and some of the others got together about a week ago, and that for a discussion rather like that,
yeah.
And that did seem to work quite well.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got a list here. This is based on, Chris looked at this and approved it,
mm-hmm.
as the kinds of things that we would want to get information on. And there would be certain parts of this that you had particular involvement in, but I don't know what those would be, because I don't know what aspect of the industry you were in.
Well, I joined the Vancouver Builders Exchange in 1949.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, ACA came out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't part of the structure of ACA.
Right.
And also I used the Builders Exchange, and I was involved in the negotiations for the millwork industry with the Builders Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Cole was the manager then.
So were you in the millwork end of things?
At that time, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Rolly Gervin,
mm-hmm.
and McGregor McIntosh were two of the people who handled negotiations on behalf of the Builders Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they created ACA, I wasn't a part of that. That was done, mostly the general contractors got together and started that, and it was a darn good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was an excellent idea. And I more or less dropped out of activity, physical activity within the association. I come back in about 1964, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
About there, I went to work. I closed my own business down. I went to work for Bezanson, and I represented them in ACA, and I became more active then.
And what did they do?
They were millwork and interior contracting.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do our own labor negotiations in the millwork industry. Even when ACA was up on 11th Avenue, when mm-hmm. you moved up there in the early days. But then with the creation of CLR, we handed over to them.
Right.
And I was on the millwork committee of CLR. I was on the council of CLR at that time too.
Right. So were you involved over the years with various committees and other parts of ACA?
With CLR, was just the with the council and strictly millwork negotiating.
Right.
So with ACA, I was a member of the Trade Division Board,
mm-hmm.
a chairman of the Trade Division Board, I think, for maybe two or three sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I served a term as the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
I served as the chairman of the Business and Practices Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I served as chairman of the Lean Act Committee, co-chairman of the Lean Act Committee.
Right.
I ended up in 78 as second vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to Iran, so I resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Shah got booted out of Iran and the whole project died.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, I have dropped all my activities with ACA, and I suddenly discovered how much more time I had.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Because, I was sort of involved in everything there.
Yes, yes.
With ACI, I was also involved with the IR committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we planned all the conventions and the dues.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of any other committees.
So what are your recollections of ACA in its early years in the late 60s?
It was a good organization.
Mm-hmm.
We had good people in it.
Mm-hmm.
it was a highly unionized organization in a way that almost all of the trades and the general contractors were union members at that time.
Right.
And as such, you know, they had a common effort. But then over the period of time, there came more and more non-union members, and I guess now it's probably 90% non-union.
Right.
And the union members won't sit at anything where they are because they're not going to educate them. They've got their own fight to do, and they're fighting against each other out in the field, so why try to, how can you possibly work together? So it's a shame. It's, mind you, all of the big names have dropped out of ACA. Dillingham, Commonwealth. I guess Dominion might still be here, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But you know, all of the, of course, all the major construction companies have disappeared anyway.
Right, yeah.
They've all disappeared.
Do you have any, I was interested in some personal recollections of some of the early people like Bob Saunders, who was a major person pulling ACA together.
I haven't got the pictures here.
Yeah, it's in the other room and there's a meeting in there, but yeah.
My membership goes back when I joined Ralph from there was then Commonwealth Construction, used to be Carter Halls and Aldinger. Ralph Pybus.
Right. That's there's Bob.
Yeah. I knew Bob very well. We were good friends. And Fred Hume. I knew his father better than him. Joe Bishop.
Right.
Yeah. George Wheaton, a real gentleman. Just a prince of a person. Bert Shore. Bill Winkler. Dolph Hoffman. Paul Dole.
Yeah, a few of those names still around.
Oh yeah, I knew all of these people. We associated, you know, on a social basis within ACA.
Right.
Lionel Houle, and he and I are still good friends. Huey McConaughey, Clifford Johnson.
I took some of the former batch. Have you got some fresh?
I think you prefer that one. Yes,
I certainly would.
I see you have my classy cup here.
Oh, I didn't know which.
No,
any cup will do me there.
Okay.
Thanks, Sandy.
So we'll get you some fresh coffee, a bit better.
Yeah, Clifford Johnson. He was a good guy. He was a real old-time English gentleman. And when he said something, he meant it, and he kept his word always.
Yeah. Interesting how important that was, and very much part of it.
We did all kinds of work on a handshake. You might not even get the contract before the job was finished.
Right.
You usually got the contract signed before they could release the holdback. And we did it quite openly. The handshake was all that was needed. What's the date on this?
I think it's one of the early, is it 66?
1966.
Yeah.
Bill Winkler, I knew him. Bert Shore, Bob Saunders, Lloyd Blaine, there was a good friend. I first met Lloyd Blaine when he was a carpenter way back about 49 or thereabouts. Paul Dome, Clifford Johnson, Hugh McConaughey, Ross Jackson. Bud Burke, George Wheaton, Barry Charles was just died here about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He was a classmate of mine at university. He was also one of my sergeants in the Officers Training Corps. Ken McCrae and other classmates, Jack Seeley, Sandy Armisen. God, there's a character.
So
Jack Sigurdsson, the Dean of Millwork in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. Noel Charlie Bantall. Roly Gervin, Bill Ellison. God, he took a stroke and it was a shame. Joe Bishop, Howie Hume. Bert Shaw. Tommy Turnbull, Art Turnbull.
Those would be from Turnbull and Gailey.
Yeah. The first time I met Art Turnbull and his brother Chuck was I guess about 1935 or 36. I was working as an electrician's helper for H.J. Sarin Company, and they were Turnbull Brothers Construction, or Turnbull and Son. I'm just not too sure which stage it was at that time. And they were both working as carpenters in the Bank of Nova Scotia building, the old one in the corner of Seymour and Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cutting the wood floor out on the mezzanine floor so that we could run cables and hang new fixtures in the bank.
And then takes you back.
The next time that Sarah and myself, Sarah happened to be my uncle, and the Turnbulls were together, it was when they renovated the Georgia Hotel in 1954 for a cocktail lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Turnbull and Gale were the general contractors, Sarah was the electrical contractor, and I was a millwork contractor, and the four of us were back together on another job.
Right.
Almost 20 years later.
Huh. Wow. Well, did you lose quite a few people in the war from the industry?
I don't know. I was going to university. I graduated in 41.
Mm-hmm.
I lost some damn good friends. But how many they lost in the industry, I don't know. I wasn't involved in the industry.
Right, right.
Yeah. I was just working as Nella Christian's helper because I got bounced out of Christmas and I had to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work for Sarah odd times whenever there was work, summers and so on, and weekends, right. Just for pocket money.
Right. So what are your recollections of Bob Saunders, if you have any stories about him or recollections of him as a person? We can't interview him, and it's a real shame because...
I guess some of the funniest recollections I have was when we used to have our conventions. It was always at Harrison.
Right.
And there was always a theme.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a Roman theme, we'd have a Roman orgy, or it was the Roaring Twenties, or it was Western Night.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a theme, and everybody dressed in costumes likewise.
Right.
Like on the Roman orgy, I'm not sure. I have a feeling it might have been Lloyd Blaine. He was born in on one of these things with four slaves, you know.
Oh my God.
Everybody was dressed in togas and
right.
That sort of thing.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. But I recall we always used to stop at Agassiz and Gwynne, the general store there, and we would buy sausages and cheeses and cold cuts and that sort of stuff, you know, and some buns and crackers and cheese. And we always had a kettle and instant coffee and tea bags. And our room was like open house.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we'd come down there. I remember one time Reg Garton came down with his accordion. Johnny Bruno was there with his accordion. George Clayton was there with his guitar. And his wife Beth was singing.
Right, well.
And Chuck from CLR. And his wife, the last president of CLR. Oh, no, his name's so well, I can't think of it. But he and his wife were there. All the members that we'd known for years. And, you know, after the thing was finished downstairs at midnight or so, we'd go until 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right, well, yeah.
But everybody knew everybody. And everybody socialized and got together, and they worked together.
Mm-hmm.
They played together, and they worked together.
Right, yeah.
And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, I'll be honest with you, the construction industry was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun anymore.
No.
It's all gone out of it. It's cutthroat. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm out of it.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think it started to change?
Well, I guess I noticed it mostly In the 80s, I would think it would change. Mm-hmm. In the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. around that time. I guess the change was so subtle that we really didn't notice it.
Mm-hmm. And when did the people have commented that the conventions at Harrison stopped, but I don't know when they stopped?
Well, I don't know. I sort of became inactive, you know, around 1980 or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. I was still on ACA committees, but I wasn't in the executive end of it. But, for example, we organized the first cruise, the convention on a cruise.
Mm-hmm. Like on a major cruise ship?
Sun Princess.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. From here to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Then we flew back. It was over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
But it was the first time they had done this. They were deadheading from their Alaska cruises down to their Mexican cruises.
Oh, sure, okay. Yeah.
And all they had were about 40 or 50 travel agents. So we put 200 construction people in there and took one entire city.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think it was something under $700 for the whole trip, you know, mm-hmm. the cruise and the airfare back and that, right. Which was pretty reasonable.
Oh, very reasonable, yeah.
Next time we tried to do it, it was double that.
Oh, yeah.
We also organized one in Hawaii. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
But see, in those days, all of the senior people came.
Right.
The guys from A Company, who did all the work in ACA and who represented ACA and the company, quite often they weren't on those offshore conventions because the bosses went.
Right, yeah.
And it was sad to see in a way, but I guess it was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the guy that did the work would be there and maybe two or three of his superiors would be along as well.
Mm-hmm. In terms of Bob Saunders in particular, as you worked with him over the years, what were his strengths, do you think?
His personality.
Uh-huh.
He had tremendous personality and a good organizing capability.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was a dedicated hunter, mm-hmm. and fisherman. And of course, his twin brother worked for, Camfer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the company plane, and they would, you know, they could fly almost anywhere to go fishing in that.
Right, right.
They were both avid fishermen.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like he was pretty good at getting along with people.
Oh, he got along with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, which would help.
Yep, tremendous person. Lloyd Blaine was very much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it, I've been told, I don't know what your impression is, that the idea of ACA was very much Bob's doing.
Well, Bob was one of the originators of it.
Yeah. So that would be...
He was one of the creators, you know, the original creators. I don't know who all was involved because I wasn't active in it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask Johnny Bruno, he can tell you more because mm-hmm. he was active in it then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Rolly Gervin, which is mentally alert enough now, he's getting pretty feeble.
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting. In relation to, as you got into ACA and got involved with different committees and groups and things, what was it you were doing on the Business Practices Committee? What were you focusing on there?
Well, at that time, there was another committee, Tax and Legislation.
Mm-hmm.
I was on that committee. In fact, I think I was chair of it for a while. The Tax and Legislation, we monitored any changes in the Tax Act or any legislation coming down, but also we monitored any changes to the standard construction documents issued by CCA.
Mm-hmm.
And we fought them on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time it looked like it was a fait accompli, and we said to Alex Shaw, who was the president of ACA at that time, you know, the staff president, he says, no way, you write them and tell them exactly how we feel, and he did, and we won.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And It was just a matter of looking at things that were good for the construction industry, no matter what field they were in.
Right. Was it about then that ACA decided to produce documents for BC? Because at some point, those two...
Well, they only produced the BCCA 200, which is a subcontract document. They never produced prime documents. They're all CCA.
Mm-hmm.
They produced the BCCA 200. Now, I don't know whether that was ACA or whether it was ACA in conjunction with the BC Construction Association.
I understood that ACA kind of got the ball rolling and then passed it to BCCA.
That's quite possible, yeah.
So you were involved in that?
I was a director of BCCA, and I was on the... Business and Practices Committee. Mm-hmm. At BCCA. I was a director of BCCA for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
It was enjoyable. Met a lot of nice people.
Right.
Throughout the province.
You were saying that you were wound into the Lean Act work as well. Almost everybody I've talked to has done time with
Lean Act. Lean Act's been going on since Fletch was born, you might say.
It seems, yeah. You should all have sort of life awards for that as well, as far as I can.
It's something that has to change with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how hard you work, you as an industry never get all that you want from the provincial government.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Lean Act has to be compatible in each province.
Right.
That's another problem you run into.
Mm-hmm. So all that work over the years, was that kind of a constant updating thing?
It was continuous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there was always been a Lean Act committee.
Mm-hmm.
I think Horace Harrison was one of the last of the old timers to...
He was on it.
Yeah.
Everybody I've talked to was on it.
Yeah.
It was the first thing Dolph got involved with when he joined ACA.
Well, see, anybody, a general contractor, or a trade contractor, or a manufacturer and supplier, were all involved within the boundaries of the Lean Act.
Right.
They all looked to the Lean Act for protection.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I know that you've also been involved with the Life Members Group. Is that something that was formed relatively recently?
I don't know. John Dalward was the chairman, and I guess he asked me to be on the committee. And at that time, we were writing the guidelines for the Life Members Committee, you might say. And we wrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it and wrote it, and finally it was accepted. And then John retired and I took over. And I'm still chairman, and it's not going to be too long till I'm going to turn over to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I have brought in new people, younger people and new blood in, with Dolph Hoffman and Horace Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be too long till I get out too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to stay a member of the committee, but I'd like somebody else to take over the chair.
Right, yeah.
It isn't, there isn't that much to do really, but it's time somebody else had a shot at it.
Right, right.
Share the wealth.
Right. So looking at this list of, let's see, we've got...
Well, okay, you know, your education, ACA has always had a really good education group.
Mm-hmm.
And the education programs they put on, I think, were well accepted and well worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any direct involvement with
any of them? No, I never involved with education.
Right.
Contract documents were handled, yes, that was handled through the Tax and Legislation Committee.
Right.
Arbitration and mediation is handled through the Business and Practice Committee.
Right, so you had some involvement with that over the years, I guess.
I was on that committee for, 20 odd years. I'm still on it.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had any arbitrations lately, I hear.
Oh, really? Yeah. It sounds like it was... Was that something that was part of ACA from the beginning, that service?
No, arbitration just sort of... I don't really know where it came from. It just all of a sudden it was there. It was a service offered to members.
Mm-hmm.
And the members accepted it because it was free, mm-hmm. and they were talking to their peers, mm-hmm. which is important.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
I recall one time when John Downer was away and I was chairing an arbitration, and we had a general contractor and a material supplier up, but we didn't have a general contractor on the board to represent them. So I explained this to the two people involved in arbitration. I said, if you don't mind coming back a week from today, we'll be sure that there's a general contractor here. It's only fair.
Right.
So that each of the participants, each of the arbitration sides had someone on the board who was knowledgeable in their area.
For sure,
and
yeah.
This was important. It was something we're always trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened? You...
Oh yeah, I put it off for a week, and I got one of the members of the board, who was general contractor, mm-hmm. to come in.
Right. Okay.
And it was funny, the general contractor lost the arbitration, but he came up to me afterwards and said, Bill, look, if you ever need any help on this committee, let me know, I'm available.
Oh, yeah, so he appreciated it, that you've made
it. Yeah, I was PCL. Mm-hmm. He was president of PCL Vancouver at that time.
What's your sense of how that service has gone over the years? Has it always been strong?
I think the arbitration service has been excellent. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that more use wasn't made of it. Mm-hmm. Why, I don't know. Because it's sure a lot less costly than litigation. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot less costly than legal mediation. And you're talking to your peers.
Yeah, that's right. You think they'd be the best qualified.
We don't allow lawyers to be able to come and talk to you. You can bring your lawyer and you can talk to him, but he can't. You talk to the committee.
Right, right.
There's only one spokesman from each side, which makes it clear cut. Mm-hmm. There may be three members and they confer, but there's only one spokesman from each side to make mm-hmm. it fair. Mm-hmm. And each side has the chance at speaking and at rebuttal. And the decisions are normally made fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. But the committee has put a limit on it, a money limit on it, which I thought was a good idea. Mm-hmm. Because beyond that, it should maybe go.
So you mean the amount?
Well, if the amount in arbitration was above a certain level, mm-hmm. then they would suggest to the participants that they go to legal and mediation.
Right.
That we just felt that it was out of our area to get into too deep waters.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And the next item on this little list is the Award of Excellence.
No, that came after I was active, mm-hmm. inactive. The accreditation is later. The Bid Depository, it's been there for a long time, and it's a good program. Mm-hmm. It's been emasculated and torn apart and everything else. But when we were looking after it years ago, it had some clout.
Right. So what was different then, or what was stronger about it?
Everybody's figured out 14 ways to beat it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the specifying authorities are not staying with what they say should be done. Mm-hmm. We had an example during the tendering for the BC Courthouse where the architect specified that the millwork or the architectural woodwork contractor had to be a member of the Millwork Contractors Association and of AMAC. That was one of the criteria for bidding the job. So we went to the bid openings. I think there were four or five bids, and one of them was not a member. And they read off the names, and I protested right then and there. As a member of AMAC, I protested. And the architect's feeling was, well, no, they submitted a bid, we'll open it. Well, at that point in time, I should have called for a time out and got the other members of MMA together and said, as far as I'm concerned, I think we should withdraw our tenders en masse and let them sit with the one that doesn't live with the spec.
Right.
But I thought, well, no, that could create problems, so we'll let it go. It so happened they didn't, they weren't a little tender.
Right.
They didn't get any work out of it.
Now, this is the Arthur Erickson building on Howe and, yeah, downtown. Yeah.
The one that was like that, that they laid down.
Oh, is that what happened?
It was originally under Bennett, Wacky Bennett, it was going to be 50 stories.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hmm. That was the original part of it.
Right. Hmm.
As a matter of fact, just as a sidelight, Alec Fraser was the Minister of Public Works at that time, and I was the president of the Millwork Association. So, secretary manager, and I forgot one other person, and I went over to meet with him and try to put across the facts about the millwork supply to this project. And we told him frankly, there wasn't a millwork house anywhere around that could handle the entire project. And could it be brought out in phases,
mm-hmm.
so that any of the major millwork houses here could handle it and we could retain the work within the province?
Right.
And he listened and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, all of that millwork within the building was retained in British Columbia.
Hmm. I'll have to go and have a closer look at it. I've looked at various features of the building over the years, but...
Well, we go to the courthouse and look at all the beautiful paneling and that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
the plan rooms, they've been here. I used to use the plan room at the Builders Exchange down on Pender Street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good deal.
Was that superseded by the ACA plan room ultimately?
Well, it was just a continuation of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people. We talked a little bit about Bob Saunders. What I was curious about is, you know, folks that aren't around anymore for one reason or another.
George Hewitt, he was another good man.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Lloyd Blaine was a good man. He's gone.
Well, a little bit, what about George? Was he, what part of the industry was he in and what was his ACA connection?
The president of foundation company here. And then he was transferred to Alberta, and then he died very shortly after that.
What was his connection with ACA? Was he?
He was chairman. Mm-hmm. He was president. In those days, they had a president.
Mm-hmm.
The staff member was the managing director.
Right, and the president was who's now called the chairman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lloyd Blaine, what about him?
Who?
Lloyd Blaine, was that right?
Lloyd Blaine, he was president of ACA.
Right. And what part of the industry was he from?
He was the president of Dawson and Hall, general contractors.
And so anything about, you know, what would a picture of him be, or what was he famous
First time I met Lloyd Blaine, he was a carpenter working for Abel Construction. They were putting up a building on Canby Street between 16th and 17th and 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And I had rented the back portion of it for a millwork shop. And I used to go down, I had a little place out the street. I used to go down, I used to bug hell out of it. Come on, get busy, get this thing done. I want to move in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I met Lloyd. He was a nice guy. Next time I saw him, he was an estimator.
Right.
For Dawson Hall. Then he worked his way up.
Right. I guess a lot of people did then. Started at the bottom and worked their way up, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of more common than not.
A lot of people did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They started and they were all tradesmen. Like both of the Turnbull brothers were carpenters. They served their apprenticeship as carpenters. And their fathers had the company. Excuse me, they worked for him as carpenters and they worked their way up.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Scoggi, who was chairman of the IR committee here for a long time, he started as a carpenter, served his apprenticeship, and he ended up as senior vice president of the foundation company.
Mm-hmm.
He never went through any of the offices of ACA.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a very strong supporter of ACA back in those days. He worked for Dillingham.
Right. Now, for yourself, did you go through the carpentry route to the millwork?
It was a hobby I turned into a business. No, I'm a professional engineer by profession.
Oh, okay. So how did you... It sounds like fairly early in your career you got into the millwork end of things.
Well, woodworking was always a hobby with me, so right. I got into it and it just developed. Now, I spent about 10 years with Foundation Industrial doing market research for them.
Mm-hmm. So do you, whenever you see millwork, I guess you sort of automatically register whether
I'm a life member of the Millwork Association, right. So I go to their monthly meetings and their other functions.
Right. Do you know Phipps Broda?
Mm-hmm.
Phipps climbed with my dad. And I met him at one of the dinners, in fact, and I was so impressed with the pictures and the displays. That year they had the Fletcher Challenge offices with that beautiful Maple-Burl wall, and they had the railings at the Prince George University of Northern BC, and some really stunning.
Phipps was a layout man with J.R. Bezanson,
mm-hmm.
and he left there to go to work for... who are the designers? You know, the names are there, and at my age, you begin to forget their names. They're one of the big designers here.
Right.
And he worked there for years until he retired. And of course, I had a lot to do with him during those periods when he was with the design company.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting to run into him because he was a member of the...
Well, actually, he's an inspector for the Millwork Association. He comes to all the meetings.
Right. Oh, great.
I see him quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, BCCA's office was here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reeder was the president of BCCA at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was BCCA around when ACA was formed?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
It was BCCA is a formation of the four regional construction associations.
Mm-hmm.
ACA, Victoria,
right.
Northern BC, and Interior.
Sitka and...
Sitka.
Yeah, and the northern one.
Yeah, Sitka.
Right.
And only they have memberships in it. No individual company has a membership in BCCA.
Right, right, okay.
Yeah, that was another committee I chaired, the audio... Audiometric.
Mm-hmm.
When the Workman's Compensation Board first brought in audiometric testing for workers.
Right. What does that mean? Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, just a fancy name for sight and hearing. Yeah, okay.
And when that first came up, Frank Reeder asked me if I would chair the committee, which I did for about 2 years, I guess.
Right.
And then Bob March from Commonwealth took it over after that, my request. I'd had enough of it.
Right.
But my association and BCCA were good.
Well, it's interesting, as you said, when you bailed out of things because you thought you were going to Iran, I'm not surprised you suddenly found you had a whole lot of time on your hands.
Oh, yeah, I did. I had a whole lot of time. They tried to talk me into coming back and going through to be president, but I said no. I said... I think I put in my time.
I
deserve a rest now.
Yeah.
That's when I got Don Vandervoort to fill in for me.
Right. Do you have any recollections of Construction House? People speak pretty fondly of the place. And
well, it was a fun place.
Uh-huh.
Joe Bishop was there.
Mm-hmm.
And after him was Alex Shaw. After him was Harry... Alec died of a heart attack driving home from a hockey game with his grandson. And Harry...
Yeah, what was that gentleman's name?
Oh, what the hell was Harry then?
Harry Alexander.
Harry Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a Christmas luncheon, Chinese luncheon down in Chinatown that Huey McConaughey threw every year for his friends in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And... somebody came in and said, I just got word, Harry was supposed to be there. And somebody said something about Harry, and somebody else said, no, said, Harry died this morning, he had a heart attack.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so that was sort of, well, various people have said to me they think it's ACA that finishes them off, but...
Just
a coincidence, yeah. Isn't that too bad? And then after Harry was Alan Bennett, is that right?
I think so, yeah. Alan was in for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And Alan Bennett was with Lang Construction for many years.
Mm-hmm. Was it, I don't know why Construction House was chosen or why it was abandoned. Do you recall when it came into the picture?
Oh, gosh, no.
Who was there before ACA, though, because it was...
Well, it used to be a Jewish morgue.
Oh, it was a morgue, was it? Oh.
No, it was originally a Jewish morgue.
Mm-hmm.
And who had it before ACA, I don't know. But I think...
It was ACA's first home, though, was it?
Oh, no. They had offices on Broadway, just off of Oak Street,
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved up to Construction House.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did they name it Construction House?
Yeah.
I've always heard it.
Construction House.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the early 60s that I was there on labor negotiations. So it must have been in the early 60s
mm-hmm.
that they moved up there. See, here again, Art Turnbull could tell you, and Bob Saunders could tell you, but they're both gone.
Right, yeah.
That's why the history should have been written years
ago. Well, we're better late than, I guess, is all we can say. And what was the characteristic of the place? If you wandered through the door, was it quite a lot smaller than this? Was it?
Oh, it was on two levels, actually three levels.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs to the plan room, the main level, and then upstairs. And I know the people were scattered around, but everybody was so friendly,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to stop and be screened by a receptionist or that sort of stuff.
Right.
You sort of walked in and said hi, you know, and talked to the girls, and then you upstairs and talked to whoever you wanted to talk to.
Right.
They had several small offices up there that they rented out to different firms and companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if my memory is right, one of the main reasons to move away from there was lack of parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it not being the geographical center of the Lower Mainland.
Mm.
This is very close to the geographical center of the Lower Mainland.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was an intelligent move.
Mm-hmm. You do, right? Okay. Because it's funny how, you know, people refer to Construction House fondly as if to say they don't like this place, but that may not be it.
It was something different. It was part of the past.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very enjoyable part of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the IR committee? We'd have our meetings, and let's say, for example, it was time to start planning for the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And, there'd be maybe 20 of us there, 15 to 20 of us. And it'll go around, you know, and they'd bat the breeze and talk about this and talk about that, and all of a sudden somebody would say, hey, that sounds like a good idea, let's look into it. But all of a sudden it developed, everybody contributed, and you had your theme.
Right.
Bill Wiley and I were the ones that started them on the Roaring Twenties, for some reason or other. One of us made a remark, and we answered backwards and forwards, and all of a sudden Barry said, that's it, Roaring Twenties.
Right.
And from there it developed.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the meeting, Barry would get out of his listening seat. Barry, well, it's your turn. I said, bottle of vodka. So my company would get a bill for bid deposit envelopes. And that's the way we ran. Everybody contributed.
Right, right.
But he kept talking about
it. Yeah, isn't that funny? Well, whose idea was the dreadful, it sounds awful, the moose milk? Or maybe it wasn't an idea, maybe it was just one of those things that sort of happened, but it's...
I don't know, but it was always there.
Oh,
it was
dear.
Good.
Oh, was it? Oh, dear. Yeah, sort of, I guess you couldn't very well say no, right?
Oh, no, they go around and woke you up. No, I'm not kidding. Members of the IR committee went around knocking on doors, waking everybody up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And handing the stuff out to them?
They had to come to the social suites.
Right.
Up on the top floor. And it was there. It was in a garbage bucket.
Right. God. Well, you obviously, it was a sort of ritual, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you, when they flew to Hawaii, they flew Ward Air, and I think we took the whole plane. There was nobody on but us. And one of the stewardesses happened to be a very good friend of our daughter-in-law. So I went up to see Sue, and I saw about a Drambuie and a cherry brandy. She says, no Drambuie, I'll give you two cherry brandies. I said, you got a dead deal. And she said, that's it. I said, what do you mean? She said, we're dry. She said, this has never happened before, but we're dry. There isn't a drink left in the aircraft.
Oh my goodness. You must have almost wanted to make it fly home.
No, we probably could have.
Yeah.
But I mean, in those days, people drank a lot more than they do today.
Mm-hmm.
And they drank hard liquor and very little wine. And things have changed.
Right, yeah.
People don't drink like that anymore.
Right, yeah, or they drink beer or whatever. Yeah. So in terms of...
The events were all fun.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it, and it sounds like, you know, it is, things have changed. It's not the sort of small family of friends that it was.
Well, like the IR committee... Our wives were also very much a part of that group, and the wives all got to know each other.
Right.
And if we would have a social, like when we had the convention at Harrison, the last day, like it was over like Friday night, Saturday you were on your own. So we all met in the social room, the IR committee and the wives, we all met in there for breakfast. And it was sort of a buffet breakfast, go in and help yourself. And for years, we had IR committee reunion, the old IR committee. We'd have a dinner every year at Pietro's over here on Hastings Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone by the boards.
Right.
People just don't seem to want to do those things anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not as much glue in the industry somehow.
Well, of course, a lot of the people that would come are now out of the